My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Gartner predicts that search traffic will drop 26%. They're not just talking about SEO and organic traffic. They're also talking about just all search traffic, which is going to affect paid clicks as well. So they're saying that if there's 25% less traffic by 2026 of people using search engines, and instead they're going to use AI chatbots and other virtual agents, it's going to be where less people are searching, which means less organic clicks and less paid clicks.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, people are already splitting off into Perplexity, ChatGPT,
I actually disagree with Gemini, this statement.
Right? But what I'm saying is not right. I'm saying, like, you can see it's people are starting to, like, move over into different engines, right? That's where I think it's going.
I disagree with this. Do you use Snapchat anymore?
Yeah.
You use Snapchat.
Uh-huh.
Do you think most people use Snapchat anymore?
No.
It's still around and it has a lot of active users still, and it's still growing in revenue.
How many users, active users are here? Let's see.
Active users, Snapchat.
MAU, Snap.
406 million daily active users.
800 million monthly active.
Yeah, so a lot.
It's a good amount of people. Yes.
And if you look at the status of the chart, it's going up and to the right still. But yet people talk about, like, oh, no one uses Snap. Oh, you know, TikTok was going to kill Instagram. Instagram's still popular. Oh, no one's going to use YouTube now because of TikTokification.
But a 26% drop isn't killing anything.
No, but it's not even that. Okay, yes, but did Instagram get a drop? Did Snapchat get a drop? Did TikTok get a drop? What's happening is people are just using all the platforms. Google's made a lot of change. There's been a lot of social networks. People search on TikTok now, the younger generation. You have a stat in here about that too. What's a stat? 40% of Americans?
For searching TikTok.
40% of Americans
which you and I don't do, by the way.
Yeah, we don't do.
Yeah.
I barely use TikTok, but I'm on it. My team posts for me. I create the content though. But even then, with people searching on TikTok and Instagram, and a Google VP talked about that, Google's traffic hasn't been dying down. Mm-hmm. All I'm getting at is there's alternatives.
Yeah.
ChatGPT is super popular. Why hasn't that killed Google at all?
Yeah, but you're actually not disagreeing with me, because you're actually agreeing with me, because I'm saying there's more platforms.
No, I'm saying there's more platforms, but I'm saying there's not going to be a 26% decrease.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that people will use Google for certain instances and ChatGPT, and there's a use case for both and they'll keep growing.
I think so. I would agree with the Gartner piece. I don't know if it's 26% or so. I think there's going to be a drop because, like, the way we search is not going to be the traditional 10 blue links. I think they're just focusing on the 10 blue links.
Yeah, but they're already adjusting how they're doing search. Google is adapting. Facebook adapts.
I think it's still largely the same, right? I think it's going to change significantly. I think their point might be like, hey, search is going to change quite a bit. And search as we know it is going to have a significant drop. But that being said, like, people are still going to be searching for stuff always.
I don't see a 26% drop in Google or search engines, because search engines will adapt. It's like saying, oh, TikTok came out. We're going to see, and it's so popular, we're going to see a decrease in usage of Instagram. Not really. The way people consume content has changed because of TikTok. Mm-hmm. It's called TikTokification. We all want short form content.
So I think we're saying things in different ways. Like, the way I'm thinking about it is, like, search as we know it's going to change. And so, like, they can say it's a drop, but I think it's still people are still going to be searching for things. In fact, I think the people searching for things is going to go even higher as time goes on. Yeah.
So I think the big thing here is we're not arguing that search is going to change. We both are on the same page of that. We both feel platforms are going to adapt. Google's already adapting. They have been adapting for a long time. Google's had AI people in their organization for ages now. And platforms like social and other ones have adapted over the years. It's common. I don't believe there's going to be a 26% drop in search. No. I don't think Google will be the same as it is, or nor will Bing or even TikTok search in 3-4 years from now. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's going to see a drop in traffic. I actually think they're going to see more people using Google for search.
Yeah. I think, look, the way this headline's structured, right? I think long-term, we're agreeing that net-net, there's going to be an increase in usage. I think they're just saying search as we know it is going to change, right? And so, you know, and plus it's an interesting headline for them to write too. Like,
I don't think they're saying search as we know it is going to change. I think they're saying search is going to drop 25%.
They put it here, right? Traditional search traffic. Yeah, traditional search engine volume will drop. But the keyword is traditional. Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, but it's not traditional. They can't look at it from traditional because all these platforms have adapted since their beginnings. And what, you think they're going to stop adapting now?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I think it's just a ton of clickbait.
Yeah. I want to take a second to tell you about my podcast co-host agency, so NP Digital. So Neil Patel Digital. What they do is they do a whole host of marketing services, and they are global. They're worldwide. They have SMB services as well. They have mid-market to enterprise services as well. They cover the entire gamut. So you can just go to mpdigital.com to learn more about it. And now back to the episode. By the way, Neil and I have an agency owners group called the Agency Owners Association. All you have to do, just go to marketingschool.io/agency. Once again, it's marketingschool.io/agency to learn more. And now back to the show. Austin Reif, who sent this out, by the way, so he's one of the co-founders of Morning Brew, he said there's no better time to have an engaged newsletter. And yesterday I was talking to a creator. She left her job earlier, was working at a popular startup, we'll just call it that. And she's just focused on creating now. She's like, I don't want to make a newsletter. I don't want to make a community. I was like, so how are you going to make your money right now? She's like, sponsorships. I was like, then I gave her the logic. I was like, hey, Japan's in recession right now. Germany's in recession right now. UK's in recession. Do you think we're in a recession or not? And what gets cut during recessions? Like sponsorships, right? I was like, probably should think about like protecting yourself and insulating yourself long-term.
Dude, it's funny. So talking about, he said there's no better time to have an engaged newsletter. Mm-hmm. We both have newsletters.
Yep.
We have some friends who have really engaged newsletters. Yep. And I remember one of our mutual friends, she talked about Morning Brew being sold for X dollars, or Business Insider bottom.
Axios for $5.50.
Yeah, and she kept giving numbers. And I my comment to her, I left a comment, or was it a direct message? I don't know, it was one or the other, was why not just go after a bigger TAM? Newsletters aren't big businesses. I'm not saying I've created a big business, right? Just to clarify on that point. But they're not big businesses.
They're supplemental.
Yeah.
To your business.
Like, they're not good businesses. You should have a newsletter. I think they're amazing for marketing, but no one should create a newsletter as a business. You're not really solving major problems with it. Hence, the TAM for them are really tiny compared to, you know, creating an AI solution like Sora. That's revolutionary. That's a big business. I don't have that in me to create anything like that, but I just think newsletters are a bad business. They're just great for marketing.
On that note, like the way we use it, just for everyone to understand, like we have a higher LTV service or product in the back end, and we use the newsletter to drive people to that, whether it's to a webinar or driving people to booking calls. That's how we use it.
That's how you use it? What's your higher end back end?
No, it's same thing for you. It's the higher end back end is our services.
We're using newsletters as a marketing channel.
Yeah.
We're not using a newsletter. And Austin isn't saying this. He just said it's no better time to have engaging newsletter. That doesn't mean he's saying you should charge for your newsletter or not. Yeah. I think paid newsletters are bad businesses.
I agree with that. I think, and look, there are some good business. I mean, like, you know, I have a friend like Matt Paulson. He talks pretty openly about his newsletter. They do like $30 million a year, which is great. But the majority of the revenue comes from sponsorships, right? And that's how he does it. I think that's difficult, but he's done it for a long time and he's good at it. So good for him.
He's the one who does the finance newsletters, right? Yeah,
correct.
The thing with finance, I've seen newsletters work in a lot of industries, But finance is the one that I've seen it work the best. And if you know, you look at the poster child for it, they've been doing it for ages, is Agora. Mm-hmm. And the reason I think it works so well for Agora is in finance, they're giving you tips in theory, quote unquote. I'm not saying they actually do, but in theory, that will make you more money. Mm-hmm. And I think anything that is you pay and it makes you more money, or the dream of that, or the illusion of it, whatever you want to end up calling it.
The perception.
Yeah. That converts extremely well.
Yeah, because everyone wants to do better. Everyone wants to improve their life.
Dude, just think about how many newsletters are crushing it right now with crypto going up.
Oh, yeah. They're all back now.
And they're making a killing. They're like, oh, Bitcoin almost at all-time highs now. Yeah. Oh, you got to get on. It's going to go even higher. They're saying it's going to go to 100,000, 200,000. Yeah. Are you going to catch this? And if you look at what a lot of people invest in crypto, it's not because they believe in Bitcoin being the future currency or anything like that, or they don't believe in the US currency. They look at it as a quick way to get rich. Mm-hmm. That is the majority of the people that are just buying and selling.
Well, now let's talk about the marketing genius of Bitcoin, right? I never thought that the ETFs, like, do you know how much has flown through the, or gone through the ETF so far in terms of volume? The Bitcoin ETF?
If I had a guess, hundreds of billions?
No. 10 billion, right? 10 billion, but that's one of the largest. Like, it's one of the fastest growing.
Just one ETFs. Or all of them?
All of them, 10 billion, right? But then what happens if it continues to grow higher and higher?
Are you talking about 10 billion total? Is there how much money they have?
10 billion has flown into the ETFs.
Yeah, but what's flown out and then flown back in?
I don't, flown, is it flown? Flown's not the right word. Flowed into, yeah.
What's a Bitcoin ETF? I don't know.
Like BlackRock, type in BlackRock ETF.
BlackRock.
Bitcoin ETF.
BlackRock Bitcoin ETF?
Yep.
Bitcoin ETF.
Yep.
It doesn't give me the symbol.
Well, here, search, like, here, let me, I'm going to talk while you search.
IBIT?
Yes, that's it. The genius of Bitcoin, right?
Market cap, $121 billion. I don't know where you're getting $10 billion from. That just seems too low.
Well,
average daily volume is 22 million. Mm-hmm. So 22, 1, 2, 3, times 35, that would be $770 million a day.
How much has gone into
I'm telling you, it has to be
Bitcoin
way more than 10 billion.
ETF
I would tell you it's more than, if I had to guess, it's over 100 billion.
Okay. So net inflows, this is from Bloomberg 3 hours ago, right? Fidelity-wise, Origin Bitcoin Fund, which has attracted net inflows was what I was looking for, of 4.5 billion since its inception. So total is 10 billion.
Yeah, but there's what I'm getting at is there could be inflows, but there's outflows, and then there's more inflows.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Because if your average volume is 22 million a day for this Bitcoin ETF, you're 770 million a day.
Point is, there's a bonanza for this right now.
Yeah, there's a bonanza, but there's way more than 10 billion. The 10 billion number just seems off. It seems too low.
I read that. I think Pomp tweeted that yesterday. I'm going to look for it. But point is, look, there's a lot of demand, and there's only 900 new Bitcoin being minted every day.
Vanguard closes in on BlackRock's ETF crown with $45 billion haul.
Vanguard?
Yeah.
So Vanguard's in now.
The Bitcoin ETF, and this is why I don't understand when you're saying 10 billion, its market cap is 121 billion.
I misspoke. BlackRock Bitcoin ETF hit 10 billion assets under management in less than 2 months. Almost no one expected that to happen quickly.
Yeah, but it's now at a $121 billion market cap.
Well, we're talking assets under management though. And your market cap can be different from assets under management.
Yeah, you know, you're right on that, but I doubt they only have 10 billion.
I think 10 billion assets under management and 120 billion market cap makes sense.
No.
Well, point is, okay, let's give the lesson to everyone. The lesson here is like, look, Bitcoin's just been doing its thing since 2008. I believe that's the inception, right? And people are like, oh my God, it's going to go up. It's going to go down. It's going to go up. It's going to go down. What matters is it's just worked for all this period of time. And at the end of the day, that's something you can't argue with. The product just works, right? And then you have all this like mystery behind it. Like, why is the Bitcoin white paper in every single Apple product? I bet you it's in your search for it. It's on your Apple right now.
What's on my Apple right now?
You're on your MacBook.
Okay.
The Satoshi Nakamoto white paper is there. Search for it.
How do you spell Satoshi? S-A?
S-A-T-O-S-H-I.
Okay. Satoshi white paper?
Yeah, just type Bitcoin white paper or something.
I don't have it.
Bitcoin white paper on Apple. Here. Oh, type this in. Simpledoc.pdf.
Simpledoc.pdf?
Uh-huh.
Nope, there's no simpledoc.pdf. The camera can see on my screen. I don't have any of this. It's you. You
downloaded it. No. Here, I'm going to find it. You continue. Let's continue to talk about the marketing genius of this.
Either way, look, I don't know how ETFs work. All I know is...
Yeah, Neil and I don't have ETFs. I don't have any ETFs.
Yeah. I just know that their daily average volume is $770 million. I don't know how much that means of Bitcoin being traded, but I'm assuming it's Bitcoin because it's a Bitcoin ETF. Either way, it just shows that when there's hype around something, it's actually really easy to do marketing. You can just pump things out really, really fast.
My whole thing on it is like, you know, it's people are saying all these things when people are fighting each other and about something they really believe in, which is money, right? And this thing just quietly working in the background. And then more and more people want it. The market wants it. That's how it just continues to grow, right? Sometimes it's just like a good product that works for decades and then it becomes really big. So give me your computer. I'm going to find it.
No. I'll type it in. What do you want me to type in?
Okay.
There's no white paper.
We're just going to go to the next episode. That's it for today, guys. Marketingschool.io/agency. If you want to learn about the Agency Owners Association, where you can hang out with Neil and I in person, where we'll talk about Bitcoin, right? And more importantly, we'll talk about growing your agency. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.